Think we are, and it is the next paper is one about efficiency of the project, because Aquila, after presenting the feedback on the statement of cash flows, has with Anne's help worked very efficiently to bring this paper. So even though this is not a project focus area, because we could, we did, and she is now going to present her first technical paper with recommendations. So as you promised, do not bite, please. And I hand to Aquila.
Okay, Aquila, the floor is yours.
Okay, so thank you and good afternoon. Agenda paper 21C sets out staff analysis and recommendations on the amendments to IS7 statement of cash flows proposed in the exposure draft general presentation and disclosures. So the first part of the paper considers the scope of the proposals relating to the statement of cash flows set out in the exposure draft. The staff conclude that any additional work on the statement of cash flows needs to be evaluated against other projects the board might take on. In order to help the board make such an evaluation, a possible project on a comprehensive review of IS7 will be described in the board's request for information on its agenda consultation. Feedback on such work from this project has been passed to the agenda consultation team. Accordingly, the staff recommends no additions be made to the scope of the work on the statement of cash flows in this project. The first question for the board is on page 7. Does the board agree with the recommendation that no additions be made to the scope of the work on the statement of cash flows in this project? And I'll hand over to the board to discuss.
Well, I think after the previous discussion, this should be a clear vote of approval of the recommendation. Françoise.
Yes, I'm ready to approve the staff recommendation, but I will make a small caveat, if I might. If we were to develop MPMs further, and the analysis would show that some amendments to I-7 are necessary, I would be favorable to expanding the scope from that perspective. But as I said earlier, to me, two streams of work would be the best way forward.
Anne?
Thanks, Hans. I'm going to support the staff recommendation on this with no addition to scope, especially in view of the previous conversation we've had. I think the paper sets out really well where the problem areas are, and maybe some of us would be tempted to want to clean them up, but it's beyond scope for this project. And we'll be waiting to hear on agenda consultation. We would be expecting that some people were going to raise this with us then, and we can address it subsequently. Thank you.
Very specific suggestion that runs the risk of me getting slapped down for scope expansion, which is not my intention, because overall agree with the staff recommendation. But could I ask the staff to think about the following? In terms of the comments about inconsistencies between the three classifications where we are introducing to the performance statement versus the same titles on the three categories in the statement of cash flows, I wondered if mandating disaggregation in the statement of cash flows in the investing section between those items that relate to items reported in the P&L in the statement of performance from those that do not would help. It wouldn't solve, but would help reduce some of the tensions about incompatibility in the categories between the statement of financial performance and the statement of cash flows. It's kind of like what we do in the other comprehensive income, where within other comprehensive income, we are disaggregating between those items that are recycled or will be recycled and those items that will not be. So it's not doing any further work in terms of should we change categories, et cetera, but just whether some mandated disaggregation might help reduce the tensions. So just asking the staff to consider that, but overall agree with not trying to directly tackle any broader set of issues. Thank you.
Nick?
I think it's important to acknowledge what we've heard back from the feedback on the exposure draft, and that there are concerns and people feel there is work to be done on the statement of cash flows. I do support the staff recommendation where we are today that we shouldn't make any additions to the scope of this project. Thank you.
Okay. Can I see who supports the staff's recommendation? Okay, Akila, you can continue.
So the second part of the paper considers the proposals relating to the starting point for the indirect method of reporting operating cash flows. The staff conclude that the balance of the feedback does not indicate a need to change the proposals in the exposure draft on the starting point for the indirect method. Therefore, the staff recommend the board proceed with requiring an entity to use the operating profit or loss subtotal as the starting point for the indirect method of reporting cash flows from operating activities. The second question for the board is on page 13. Does the board agree to proceed with the proposals in the exposure draft to require an entity to use the operating profit or loss subtotal as the starting point for the indirect method of reporting cash flows from operating activities? I now hand over to Bart to discuss.
I think there is no desire to discuss. Rika.
Thank you, Hans. I support the staff's recommendation, but I just want to make sure one thing about paragraph 37 and 38, it's explore about cost of change. I feel like the focus of the cost in these paragraphs seem like more about the preparer side when entity has to transit one way to another, as we propose. But I just wondering, the investor might also have a similar type of the changes, and they have to bear some kind of the cost for transition if they use some system using the current IS7 requirement, and then they move to the what we propose. So just wondering, have you thought about that as well?
If I could answer that. So the feedback that we got from the users was overwhelmingly that they see costs, they have costs when there's an option in IFRSs. So there's cost to them given the fact that some, at the moment, people start their, entities start their reconciliations at different places. And that means that they have to spend time, you know, working out where they're starting from and the different types of adjustments, understanding the different types of adjustments that you get in the from the different starting points. So the feedback we got from users was it is a benefit to them and less of a cost to them if there's a common starting point. So that would be, I think, how we would, that's the feedback we got on costs from users.
Thank you.
Can I see who supports the staff's recommendation? All right.
13.
Okay, Akila, you can turn to the final question.
So the final part of the paper considers the proposals relating to the classification of interest paid and dividend cash flows applying to entities other than those with specified main business activities. We do not ask the board to make a decision on classification of interest received at this meeting. We think that the classification of interest received in the statement of cash flows is best considered at the same time as the definitions of the investing and financing categories in the statement of profit or loss because of potential interaction between the possible requirements. For dividends and interest paid, the feedback generally supports the board's conclusions about the balance between alignment and complexity as set out in the basis for conclusions. Accordingly, the staff recommend the board proceed with the proposals in the exposure draft on the classification of dividends and interest paid. The last question for the board is on page 19. Does the board agree to proceed with the proposals in the exposure draft relating to the classification of interest paid and dividend cash flows for entities other than those with specified main business activities? Accordingly, interest and dividends paid are classified as cash flows arising from financing activities and dividends received are classified as cash flows arising from investing activities. I now hand over to the board to discuss.
Okay. Any comments? Nick? Oh, yes.
Thanks, Hans. I struggle with the logic here. I hear the feedback, but I struggle with the logic. So if we look at paragraph 13, paragraph 13 lists a whole host of reasons why full alignment is not feasible, not even possible. Between the statement of the P&L statement and the cash flow statement, and then paragraph 14 says that it's not a priority for users, and indeed our proposals for dividends received and interest end us up in a place of what I'd call partial alignment. It moves it closer to the P&L, but we know we can't get to full alignment. So for me, it's a bit of a dead end. There are a few other things that concern me. It clearly takes us somewhere which is inconsistent with US GAAP. We know today that most or the majority of entities have these items in operating, which is consistent with US GAAP. And I think as the staff neatly sum up in the paper in paragraph 54, this brings more complexity, and there'll be more complexity still when we get to financial entities, and so here it's a rather for me a difficult trade-off between accepting complexity and hearing what are the feedback from our stakeholders, which is clear, but ending up with somewhere which I think it seems to lack coherence and to me logic, I guess. So I think I am, on balance, a reluctant supporter of the staff recommendation, I have to say, but it doesn't fill me with joy.
Okay. With or without reluctance, who supports the staff's recommendation? Okay, well, Akila, well done. And I suppose this brings us to the end of our meeting. Thank you all, and we were ahead of schedule, as usual. And it was a good discussion, and we see each other next time. Thank you.